Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this September the 15th in the year of our Lord 2017. And it is an open mic Friday. You may want to talk about what we were speaking of this week, particularly yesterday, about the ramifications in Great Britain in light of the gay marriage and the transgender issues. Things are really going against Christians in that particular country. Or you may want to talk about not guilty. Yes. Surprisingly, the judge in the murder trial of Jason Stockley decided he was not guilty in the killing of a black man in a car. The whole case revolved around the fact that the gun found in the car, some people said that the policeman planted it. Others said no, the man had it. And the judge ruled that all the videos, none of them showed that the policeman had a gun in his pocket. It wasn't a small gun, it was a large gun. And he wouldn't have been able to hide it in the videos. And the other point he made that's kind of interesting, since the person that was shot to death was a heroin drug dealer, the judge said that in his 30 years of experience on the chair, on the bench, that heroin drug dealers always had a gun, especially in St. Louis. So it's interesting how that was decided. Why are we talking about it? Isn't that a political thing? Well, justice goes ways in which we don't understand sometimes, and sometimes we do. I remember in other great cases, I would argue with people that I thought a person was declared to be not guilty properly, not because he might not be guilty, but because the evidence just wasn't provided. And so in the secular realm, evidence is really, really important. You can't accuse somebody of something and then not have the evidence to back it up. I wondered when they decided that they wanted to have a judge make the ruling rather than a jury, but I can see that that was pretty wise. The judge has a 30-page document explaining his decision, and there's a lot in there that a lot of people aren't aware of. Unfortunately, some protesters were interviewed who said that this was just what happened in 1876, where white police were killing blacks, and some judge had ruled that, you know, that was okay. Now, I don't remember anything like that, but I certainly don't think that is true. How many of us pastors have a police in our congregation? And I have found at least the police I've been affiliated with are extremely polite, even tempered. Of course, they're attending church every week. And somebody who says that going to church doesn't make a difference, I don't think they understand what the church is all about. It's not that police who go to church are going to be more perfect. No, they can make mistakes. But the fact of the matter is they have an underpinning of faith in Jesus Christ, etc. In fact, the by the way that just occurred prior to my program, the pastor was talking about that sometimes things happen in your life that are unexpected. And I'm sure that for many people, especially protesters that are being brought in from out of town, this was an unexpected verdict because they thought, indeed, that Jason Stockley was guilty. But the judge has ruled otherwise. Now, they promised to shut down the airport and other things. Well, the police are on standby in the National Guard, and we have a different governor than we had during the Ferguson situation where they allowed people to burn down buildings and this sort of thing and didn't appear to stop very much there at all. Hopefully, this time they're really prepared. No problem with protesting the decision. In fact, there's even an area given by the city where they can go and protest. Of course, the ACLU says, no, you're able to protest anywhere. You can't just be segmented in a certain area. That may be true. But if you really want to make a good protest, then go to the area where all the cameras are going to be, give your point of view, and then let the people decide as to whether or not what you're saying is correct. So, what was, by the way, saying, even though unexpected things can happen, it can often be a blessing in the end. And that's really pretty biblical. Because God says for Christians that all things will work together for your good. So it really doesn't matter how much you're persecuted, how much you're put down, how much your daily schedule is changed. The fact of the matter is God is in control of everything. And even though there are times when things may not be going the way that you had hoped, they're definitely going the way that God has planned. And that's why we live by faith, not by sight. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't do something about an unexpected thing that has caused problems. For example, if a lady is going down the street and someone steals her purse, is she to do nothing about that and just say, well, I forgive the guy? No, she should go to the police because the police are God's instruments to keep peace in the city, in the country. And by not going to the police, you can really have a problem. I'll give you a personal example. For years, well, maybe 2 years, 2.5 years, when I was at the seminary, my part-time job was driving for a yellow cab. Really enjoyed it because yellow cab, unlike other cabs who only were able to pick people up from off the street, and you don't know who they were, we had people phoning us, and then we were directed to their address. So we knew the people. And a number of times we had great conversations. In fact, more than once, I would come to the destination, turn off the meter, particularly with a mother with some children, and be talking to her about the nearest churches in her area from which she could find help. So it was very interesting. Spent 12 hours. I often would start around 3 in the afternoon. You could go to 3 at night. And a lot of times I was the only taxi cab out there, especially real late at night and this sort of thing. Now, I did get robbed. Yes, there was a time and I had dropped someone off and the heat was pretty bad, so I had left the window open. And some young people put a gun through the window and ended up robbing me. Now, what's my point? They took some money. I believe they took my watch. And I had a coin dispenser. What did I do then? Did I just keep on driving around? No, I went directly to the police. Even if I had had a gun, I would have been wrong in chasing them and shooting them in the back. That's not permitted, particularly once the danger is over, for a private citizen. But the police do have the authority to arrest people and at times to have to shoot them. And I got to the police station and learned something, that if you ever do a robbery in St. Louis, at least at that time, do it around 11 p.m. And the reason for that is when I got to the police station to report, the police that were there were leaving at 11, and the new ones hadn't quite arrived. So by the time I got my report across and the word went out, another yellow cab taxi driver had been robbed by the same individuals. But then I left it in the hands of the police. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that a person cannot shoot someone, even if you're a private citizen, if your life is in danger. If somebody barged into my home and was going to be shooting when I had children at home or my wife, I have the ability to defend oneself. But if the person runs out the door and is running away, it is against the law to shoot him then, because the danger is past. So St. Louis, for example, now allows concealed carry without having to get a permit and without having to do any training. I advise against that. I don't mind people who have concealed carry, but you need to be trained, because there are sometimes 10 things that can happen to you that will be a real problem if you don't know how to properly use a gun. And so the training is really important. As I said, it's time to go to the phones at 821-0850 or toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Let's speak with Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Better. Anyway, yeah, this is like about your Wednesday show, you know?
And that was on?
Well, you were talking about, you know, how people deserve, you know, things that they make a unwise decision. They deserve the negative consequences.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking about what you said. I remember something that I heard. And with this guy, of course, this was about something different. But this guy said that we live in a politically correct society, and there are just certain things you can't say in public. Like, you know, when you make negative statements against women, I mean, they're a protected class of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and, I mean, you really open yourself to being demonized.
Yeah, no, I really agree with that, and that's why I said I'm going to be more careful in the future there. I still think my definition of deserve is appropriate, but you are correct, Mike, that a lot of people don't have that definition, and when you say someone deserves something, they think, well, they did something wrong, and therefore those are the consequences, and that's why I corrected myself that a woman should be able to walk anywhere and not fear being attacked. But I still would really encourage folks not to go down dark alleys at night, especially in crime areas, because you don't know what could be happening to you. In fact, have you seen cops where they will take undercover police women and put them in those areas so that people will ask them to get in the car and this sort of thing, and then they arrest the folks, but they know where to go, how to do it, and of course those undercover police women are very brave.
Well, you know, there was this, she was famous in her day, she was a psychoanalyst. She actually studied under Sigmund Freud.
Oh, really?
Her name was Helene Deutsch, and she said that subconsciously all women want to get raped.
Well, I don't agree with that at all.
She said she meant subconsciously, not consciously.
No.
Consciously, they will call the cops and put you in jail if you do it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of psychoanalysts that we would really disagree with, and that would be one of them right there. That would be like saying that all men want to have a car accident because they're going over the speed limit or something like that, and I would really disagree with that. But thanks for calling, Mike, for your insight, and also for reminding us that the word deserve needs to be more carefully used. And we're going to go right on down the line and talk to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
So grateful the judge came with the verdict. I have the question, why must we always, when we pray, say in Jesus' name, we pray, instead of just saying amen? And I understand we're always talking to our Lord,
Has someone told you that you have to put in the words in Jesus' name?
Yes.
Well, they're wrong. And I'll tell you why. What is the best prayer that ever is said? Jesus gave it to his disciples.
I'm sure it did.
Our Father, who art in heaven. Guess what? In Jesus' name doesn't appear there.
You're right.
Well, of course I'm right. I wouldn't have said it if I was wrong. But here's the point, Marilyn. When you say a prayer, it's good to say in Jesus' name. We often will do that when we're having a meal or something like that. But God doesn't look at your words. He looks at your heart. So therefore, when you say the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, and also forgive us our sins, you in your heart are only doing that because of your love for Jesus. And so from God's point of view, you are praying in Jesus' name, even though you don't mention it out loud.
Well, actually, I did hear the other yesterday, and I thought, oh, my. It's discounting a lot of people's prayers out there. And, but never mind other than the Lord's Prayer, because I always
Sure.
His name. Is he our intercessory to God?
He definitely is, but it's automatic. Okay. You're his child. For example, if you have a child and they want a peanut butter sandwich, they don't come and say, can I have a peanut butter sandwich? Please, Mother, I'm praying in your name.
Oh.
No. You're not going to say, you're not getting no peanut butter sandwich unless you ask it specifically to me as your mother or your father. No, nobody says that. They know that by coming to the mother to ask for a peanut butter sandwich, that they already believe this is my mother. This is from whom I receive my food, and she's not going to make a big deal about not saying it properly because she knows in your heart when you say that, guess what? You're believing that she's your mother, and that's the same with prayer. Christians,
what a great analogy. Thank you, Pastor.
And thank you for calling.
God bless your weekend, and God bless that police officer. I am so happy for him.
God bless. Thank you very much for calling. And that was Marilyn on the phone. And in case you were a little late in getting in, she was happy about the verdict of the judge. We had a James Stockley, a policeman, who had shot a man in a car. And it was years ago, I think 2013. And the judge now, not the judge, but the lawyer for St. Louis decided to charge him with first-degree murder. And supposedly some new video had come out, but the judge looked at it really carefully and made a decision that the evidence simply was not there. And a lot of people are really angry about this because they have this politically correct view that white policemen don't like black passengers or drivers. And that's not true. In fact, I can name a number of shootings that occurred against a black person, and the shooting was done by a black policeman. This is, I would not, it would be really tough to be a policeman today. In fact, every time I watch cops, I cringe. They pull a car over, and the policeman goes right up to the side door. And a couple of times, a gun just came out and immediately shot the policeman in the chest. And the one time I saw it, he had a bulletproof vest, so he was okay. But I'll tell you, I would do what they do a lot of times in Los Angeles. Tell the person to get out of the car, walk backwards, get on the ground, and just really make sure. So it's tough, in my opinion, to be a policeman today. But I don't think we're talking to a policeman whose name is Herman. Hi, Herman.
Yes, Pastor Baker, your calls have made me curious about that robbery situation you were in. In terms of at the present time, to your knowledge, how safe is it to board and ride the Metrolink electric train from, say, Illinois out to the University of Missouri campus in St. Louis during daylight hours?
I feel that it doesn't matter what you're doing. That's like asking, how safe is it to go to Macy's or Dillard's? Because they've had shootings there, robberies, and this sort of thing. More and more police are being put on the transit, but you need to be about as safe as you can. And a lot of these problems on this particular vehicle has occurred on the platform, not so much in the vehicle itself. But okay. I think that you're taking a danger no matter what you do these days because of our situation. But I appreciate your call.
Well, thank you very much for your perspective on that.
Okay, thank you. And we're just going to go down the line and talk to James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor. I'd like to ask you about what is true repentance, and could you define what implicit repentance is? And then the I guess, and I always try to get your perspective on these things, how do we, as followers of the way, deal with indirect, subtle or implicit put downs and microaggressions from other people? You know, how they do it in indirect and subtle ways, and they may be unintentional, and it may be from their ignorance, but how do we deal with those type of indirect, subtle, and implicit put downs and microaggressions from others?
Okay.
Now hang up and listen.
All right then, James. Thank you very much, because I've only got about 2 minutes here, but I appreciate these good calls today. What is true repentance? Repentance in the Bible is not just being sorry for your sins. That's the first part of repentance. It's called contrition. It's a contrition not because you're bad, you feel bad about the outcome. Like, for instance, you rob a bank and you end up in jail and you're asked, are you sorry you robbed the bank? Well, yeah, I'm sorry I robbed the bank. Had you not been in jail right now, would you be sorry? Oh, no, no, I would have the money. See, that's not true repentance. True repentance is not just being sorry for something due to the consequences. It's being contrite over something because of what you've done to Jesus Christ. You have disobeyed his law, have suffered some temporal consequences. That may be true, but the real repentance is, first of all, contrition over what you've done. The second part of repentance in the Bible is that you recognize that in Christ Jesus, you have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins. So we start a lot of our services in the Lutheran Church with a confession of sin, followed by the absolution. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. So Judas had improper repentance. He was just sorry about the consequences. Peter had proper repentance because he really bemoaned the fact that he had denied Jesus three times. Now, I'm not quite sure what you meant by implicit repentance. I'd have to maybe get you back on the phone to give me an example of that. I myself am unaware of implicit repentance, unless you mean that you do something wrong to someone and then you try and make it up to them, or you ask them to forgive you, or this sort of thing. But that would be more explicit repentance also. And then how do you deal with indirect, subtle microaggression? This can occur in a number of ways, particularly in our society. There are those who look down on people of a different race or a different religion. For example, a lot of people just get nervous when they see people who are dressed like Muslims, say in the store or something like that. And they may even say something, or they would just maybe not want to interact with them. That's an indirect, subtle microaggression. Well, guess what? Jesus experienced that all the time. And how did he react with it? Well, he often related to these people in a way, sharing the love of God with them, telling them that he had come to bring them the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And so this indirect, subtle microaggression is something that happens to all of us, but don't take it seriously. And don't take it personally, because it's really an aggression against Jesus Christ, and he'll take care of you through that. It's good to teach your kids about this so they can be prepared. Well, a person works 8 hours at McDonald's, another works two, and they both get the same wage. Does that make any sense? Well, Jesus said a parable just like that. It'll be on the next Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.